Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey friends, welcome to the Happy Hour, Jamie Ivey. I'm your host, Jamie, and we have a great show today. I want to let you know, this is actually our last show of the year. And you're thinking, well, there's another week in the year, Jamie. Well, you're right, there is. But we're taking next week off. In fact, the office is closed. There's no shows coming out. We're giving you a break. Use that break to catch up because there are some great shows that you might have missed this year. But today is our very last show. And I sat down with a special friend of mine. Her name is Vivian Mabuni. She's been on the show before. She was on the show episode 59. She was episode 59, and now we're at episode 550. Well, Vivian is coming on for two reasons. Number one, because we love her, and she is amazing and has great things to say, and I really, really enjoy her as a leader and as a friend. But also, I would like to announce that Vivian's podcast called Someday Is Here is joining our podcast collective. So Ivey Media Podcast is a collective of podcasters. We've got some great shows there. And Vivian is now one of them. We are so excited. And Vivian's show is launching in 2023. But today I wanted to talk to her about it. I wanted to ask her all about her show, why she does her show, why it matters. I love so much. And there's a part in the show today where she says, there are parts of God's character that go missing when we don't have everyone represented. And that is what Vivian wants to do. Her show is created for Asian American Pacific Islander people. We talk about that today in the show and ask her why and how and all the things. And then we're going to play a clip from her new podcast that comes out in 2023, her new season. I want to tell you this too. She already has some episodes that she's released. So this is not a brand new show. You can go listen to her show right now. Go find her show wherever you listen to podcasts. Look up Someday Is Here by Vivian Mabuni. Friends, we have enjoyed every single show that we put out this year. It feels sad and weird that this is our very last show of 2022, but I could not think of a better way to end the year. Friends, we love you. We are grateful that you listen to the Happy Hour. I say that with all sincerity. We are so grateful that you show up every single week to listen to our show. We always love to hear from you. You can send us an email, jamie@jamieivey.com. We'd love to hear what's going on in your world, what you're loving, and we're so grateful that you've been here with us this year, and we cannot wait for what next year holds. In fact, the first episode of 2023 is with my friend Jackie Hill Parrott. You do not want to miss that one. All right, friends, here's my conversation with my friend Vivian Mabuni. Vivian, welcome back to the Happy Hour.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back.
So you were one of my very, like, you were episode 59.
Like, that's like double digits.
That's early that over was here at the Happy early. Hour. I mean, yes. We're in like 500 stuff now.
Oh my goodness. It's been a time.
So you were number 59, and I met you at the IF Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on a panel together.
We were on a panel. We did IF Equip videos together.
I remember that. It was really so fun. Much. Those fun days.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to give everyone a little recap. You were on episode 59, which was in October of 2015. And Here we are, October of 2022.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? We talked about your work with Crew. Mm-hmm. We talked about fear. We talked about cancer. We talked about mm-hmm. how your friends walked alongside you in your cancer journey. Because just a year earlier, you had released your first book, Warrior mm-hmm. in Pink, A Story of Cancer, Community, and the God Who Comforts. Mm. So that was our first thing.
Yes.
Which I was looking back at it yesterday. I was thinking about talking to you, and we talked about me having a fear
mm-hmm.
of cancer.
I remember that.
And I had a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had another one since then.
Wow.
And I consistently think of you, literally, when I walk through that and remember that conversation that you and I had. Does that feel a long time ago for you?
It does. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Do you ever still fear?
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I think it's probably similar to grief, that it's not linear. It's more circular, yeah. So it circles back. And there are times that I am taken aback and brought back to certain places. So I realize that the smells can trigger different memories or places or songs. So there are still worship songs that I can't listen to.
Because they were what you listened to
mm-hmm,
then.
Exactly. That's so what helped me get through that time,
it brings it back.
Yeah. So I haven't had a Subway sandwich since then because I had them every chemo appointment. And so now I associate it with chemo. And
And there is a smell at a Subway store.
Yes. That is for so, sure. Yes. So the smell and that, yeah, that taste, it's really interesting.
It's interesting. I don't think I've shared this publicly, but last fall I had a routine mammogram that led to another mammogram plus an ultrasound.
Oh, wow.
That led to a meeting in a room with a person. And it was like, I remember I had Aaron come with me to that second one because I was like, this just feels weird. And then they took us in this room and I was like, this is not, I've never been in a room before.
Yeah.
And they, and then I end up having a biopsy.
You did the biopsy.
I had a biopsy.
Oh, Jane.
And it was just, those are scary days of waiting.
Yeah.
And you go all the way to, well, I guess this is part going to be part of my story. And praise God, like it was nothing. And I just had a follow up in May and everything's fine. But I really do think about you, Vivian, in those moments, because you've been like this warrior. And I don't mean that in a weird way, other than like you proclaimed the truth of the gospel and the comfort that God brought you with that. And it was really helpful for me, even in that like unknown for a couple weeks of not knowing what a biopsy is going to say.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that's happening to them.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. It's
that
true.
Unknown.
And it is. It's a little bit surreal because I think life just stops. And in that moment, it's everyone else's life keeps going. But for each of us in that waiting point where life really just stops. And it just gives us a different viewpoint.
So that was 2015 that you were on. And then you came back in 2019 for episode 251.
Wow, 251. That's like a big jump. And then we went from like, I think we did a Zoom call.
I remember
being in my one of my little rooms in my house and talking with you over that one. And then I came to your little tiny house.
Yeah.
And that was really fun.
I know. That was really fun. And today you're at the Ivy Media offices.
Wow. Which is it smells
so great.
Really good in here too. It looks so good, but it also smells so good.
Oh. When you were on in 2019, we talked about this idea of embracing God when he says no, walking through that. We talked about this mantra of yours of open hands, willing hearts, which was a book of yours also that came out in July of 2019. And so it's been really fun to watch God use your pain and suffering and your open hands, willing hearts throughout these years. And so welcome back again. I'm excited for what we're going to chat about today.
Yes, it's good to be back.
Okay, first of all, I just want to give an update. You started to tell me this story before we started to talk on the air. And I said, no, wait just a minute. We were talking about COVID because we're still, as much as it often feels like it's behind us, it's not always behind us. And there are still people who are suffering. And I was telling you that I said, have you ever had COVID? Because I feel like I ask people that question all the time. Like, have you had COVID?
Right.
And I'm always looking for the one person who's like, I've never had COVID. And they're out there, but they're very few and far between.
One of them is my oldest son and my daughter.
Never
have had it.
Okay, so I've had it twice.
Wow.
And I don't think one I even shared like with the world, which is fine because it's my business.
Sure.
And all the things. But something really sad happened this summer.
Oh my gosh, devastating. So my husband and I avoided COVID for 2.5 years. And I came down with COVID the week of my son's wedding.
Oh my gosh.
And then my husband tested positive the day before and we missed our son's wedding. And so we were planning to have, 70 people in our backyard for the rehearsal dinner. And we hadn't seen my husband's side of the family since before COVID.
Oh my gosh.
At my husband's dad's memorial service. That was the last time we were all together. My sister had not seen my parents since before COVID, and everyone was coming in town. And so we thought, well, at least I could be on the second floor and we could disinfect the downstairs, and it's in the backyard anyway. So my husband's friend smoked 78 pounds of brisket, and I had friends picking things up and we were still going to go ahead with it. I was just going to watch from the second floor second floor window. And the morning that my husband went to go pick up the brisket, he's like, I feel kind of tired. And he tested positive. So we ended up Zooming in our toasts for the reception. And then my daughter ended up dancing the mother-son dance with my son. And I watched on Zoom sobbing, and they were crying through the whole thing too. And it was such a mix of absolute disappointment and joy, because the most important part was that they were married and we love my new daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And but it was just so heartbreaking. So what a clash. So, yeah, so much loss.
So heartbreaking, so much loss. And everyone has things like that. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people have, you know, loss of people. And so we always want to be really aware of that. But, you know, how long have you been married?
31 years.
I've been married 21.
Wow.
And I was thinking back at how devastating that would have been on my wedding day. Mm-hmm. And now it'd be a fun story. And it would, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So the underlying thing is like in 15 years, like it's okay.
It'll be okay.
Which is not much soothing for now.
For now, I'd still come to tears with it. But it has been a bridge to a lot of people because of the loss that we've all dealt with, whether it's how we thought graduations would go, or even the birth of children, or employment, or the end of employment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just, we are all dealing with various levels of grief and loss. And mm-hmm. I think that as a believer, it's trying to hold intention that I can feel all the feelings that come with that, while at the same time also choosing to trust God. And a fun thing that happened that we didn't realize until after my son and his new wife had come back from their honeymoon was that they had a friend who I think somehow through their youth group, now college group, post-college group, they still game together. And so a roommate's friend ended up becoming part of their little posse of gamers and ended up coming to the wedding. And he was so moved by the toasts and seeing our family loving each other through such disappointment. And he messaged my son and said, you know, I didn't ever think that siblings could love each other like your siblings love you, and for parents to love their kids and stuff. And it caused me to reach out to my parents who he had been estranged from.
Yeah.
And that night at midnight, he had called them and they had reconciled. And then he called his brother who had mistreated him growing up. And they got things right with each other. He said, you know, I should have been protecting you instead of hurting you, and asked for forgiveness. And they reconciled. And it was just like, I think we don't realize that people are watching and how we choose to love and move through hard times. It really, you just never know who's watching and how that will impact and affect other people.
That is so good, Vivian. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so that's that one sliver that I'm kind of holding on to.
Yeah.
Like, in the midst of the disappointment, it's like, God, if you have a bigger purpose that I don't see and I don't understand, I still want to be here for it and all here for it. And there are so many, we have more questions than answers always, but God's purposes will be accomplished. And I think we can choose to stay in an angry place, or we can choose to open our hands and just say, okay, God, I will trust you even when things don't go the way I wanted.
Yeah.
I got to trust that you have a purpose that I don't understand, I don't see.
It's so good. And I think everyone, COVID aside, just in life, is walking through, this is not how I thought this was going to be.
Yes.
And so what do we do here? And, you know, you talk about those, that open hands and willing heart, and how do we walk through and really letting God do what he needs to do in our worlds.
Yeah.
I love that story.
So
it's it is like the bittersweet, you know, and how beautiful.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. And you might not have chosen to not be at the wedding had God been like, okay, I'm going to give you an option, Vivian.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have been, I want what I want.
Sure.
And look at what God did in spite of that.
And sometimes we don't get to hear the stories, but how kind of God when we do.
Yeah.
And we realize, okay, there was other purposes that I didn't know of that were happening. So,
well, I'm sorry you missed the wedding.
Thank you.
I'm really happy for the outside stories of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for a great wedding and a great daughter-in-law. I mean, you know, that at the end of the day, that's what you're wanting anyways. Well, I am so happy to have you back. And this is super exciting because obviously I love you and I love chatting with you, but also you have a podcast, and everyone listening, I know you love podcasts because you're listening right now. And so you've been on a journey with that podcast. And in fact, your next season is launching in just a couple of weeks. We'll let everyone know when that is happening. But it is season 4 that you're going to be launching for the Someday Is Here podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually launching it on Ivy Media Podcast. So we're so happy to have you and so exciting. But I want to talk about your story with your podcast a little bit. So first of all, introduce Someday Is Here. What is your podcast?
So Someday Is Here is a podcast for Asian American Pacific Islander, AAPI leaders. And it's really a podcast for for that community, talking about how our Eastern worlds and our Western worlds, how the nuance and the intersection of our faith and how that impacts our leadership and how we do life. Like, that's the gist of it. It's also, I think, a great resource for non-Asians.
I was going to ask, what is that?
Yeah, to be able to listen. In fact, I was at an event where we were doing introductions, and a young man who's white, you know, millennial pastor, when I was going around, he goes, "Wait, you're Vivian Mabuni. Do you host the Some Days Here podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I subscribe to it." And I'm like, white male pastor, who knew? You know, so I don't know who all's listening to it, but it's really been a joy to have a place that, you know, there's so much that can be learned through just the listening in on a conversation. It's a safe place. We talk about historical facts. We talk about culture. And Asian American is a very broad term. There are so many different iterations of what it means. There's East Asian, but there's Southeast Asian and South Asian. There's also the story of the transracial adoptee, which is different than, you know, those who are born into an ethnic community. And so there's just a lot to unpack there, and there's not a lot of resources. And wow. So for me, growing up in a predominantly white environment in Colorado, I was always looking for, you know, someone who looked like me or someone who did the things that I had hoped to do, but I didn't see anyone anywhere.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is really my own journey of wanting to see representation and the joy of platforming other AAPI leaders. And so that's Some Days Here. And so, you know, we launched it just back in 2019, 2020-ish, and had three seasons and chose to kind of keep it really open, like society and culture. The genre was very open. I'm obviously a devoted follower of Jesus, but wanted it to be a place where a lot of people could just come and listen and learn. And the majority of my guests were believers as well. And it was, I think, a helpful spot where people felt validated.
During the holiday season, we all spend time and effort finding the perfect present for our family members. Nothing beats seeing your kids' face light up when they open a gift from you. I want to tell you about Irma, a woman in Colombia who wanted so desperately, as every parent does, to make her daughter's Christmas memorable, but she didn't have the money. Then Compassion stepped in. Irma's daughter is now sponsored through Compassion International, and that sponsorship is a huge answer to prayer. Compassion works through the local church to provide food, clean water, education, medical attention, and above all else, Jesus. The church makes sure there are gifts for every child and that each child learns the true reason for the season. We need you to sponsor one more child today. For only $38 a month, you can make a huge difference. Will you help a mother provide for her family this Christmas? Go to compassion.com/IVEymedia to sponsor. Go to compassion.com/IVEymedia.
I love it so much. And when you listed about all of the different people who could be a part of this community, it feels like a real heavy, I don't want to use the word burden by any means, it feels like a very heavy mantle for you to carry. Do you feel that in saying this is a, I want to develop conversations to help AAPI leaders? And underneath that, I feel like there's 100 subtypes that could go underneath that. Do you feel pressure from that mantle to help and represent everybody well?
I think not so much pressure as much as really wanting to do right
okay.
by the different communities and to really recognize. Because we start off with, as Asian American and then realize Pacific Islanders are part of the story as well. Although some Pacific Islanders would rather not associate with Asian American because the stories are so different.
Yeah.
But I'm married to, my husband is Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander.
Yeah.
And there are some similarities. And so there are places where we do connect and recognize the we over me, which if you watch Little League Baseball, Hawaii took it all, the World Series, it was so exciting. But their whole posture was we is greater than me.
Yeah.
And that's such an Eastern value. You know, it's a collective, it's the we, it's not the Western individualistic me posture. So, so it's more just wanting to do right by those communities, really wanting to represent and knowing that I won't be able to hit everything or everyone. So really, I've just been asking friends,
to come on and, to come have on those conversations. There was a podcast that I used to listen to. I don't anymore by no other reason other than it's just time. You know, I still love this podcast. But they would say, this is for Black women.
Yes.
And they would say, you're invited to sit and listen.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much because I could be like a little outsider. Mm-hmm. I feel like I went into someone's living room and they were having a family discussion.
Yeah.
And they invited me to hang out in the back and listen. And it was so helpful for me. And that's how I feel your show is as well.
Yeah.
Is that you're having a family dinner.
Yeah.
And you're like, anyone else is welcome.
Definitely.
Just come in and listen. And it's been such a helpful tool for me.
Yeah.
I have two questions. I have a lot of questions, but we'll start with these two. When you're doing your show, what is your hope for Asian American, Pacific Islander people? Because it's not just for women, leaders. Mm-hmm. What do you want them to get out of your show? Like, what is the goal for them?
I think the goal is severalfold. One would be that they would really feel seen and validated in their experience. And so it's kind of that me too. Like I deal with this as well. I would hope that what's talked about would be helpful to translate into their specific spheres. So really, what does it look like to be a believer, to be an Asian American leader for those who work in predominantly white spaces? How do we navigate what we are taught at home as far as our communication style and then learning to have to insert ourselves, which is very Western, to promote ourselves, which feels very awkward and uncomfortable. So even some equipping and some learning and really kind of learning more and celebrating. So I my hope would be that the listeners would feel like they could hold their head a little higher. Like, wow, we have contributed tremendously to society and to the church, and those stories just haven't been heard. And so recognizing that.
Can you, do you have any demographic stats about, can you give me some of those? Because I'm wondering, like, I've heard you say before that the AAPI community is very underreached.
Yes.
And so give me a little bit about what we're, what's going on here in America and why is this community so underreached? What do we have
here? Yeah. Well, so I think it's, I mean, there's a whole bunch with that. Like historically in the U.S., there have been some real injustices done against the Asian community. So in 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act took place. Usually it's just a small paragraph in our history books, but you know, we have the Japanese incarceration during World War II. Again, just another paragraph. Mm-hmm. And we forget that there were Chinese immigrants that came during the Gold Rush, who fought in the Civil War, who, you know, but we don't, we realize that there's been that many decades of no immigration allowed, the only specific people group. And so we wonder, like, why is it that way? And, you know, to have people who are immigrants, like, I can be standing next to a Norwegian gal who recently immigrated, but she is seen as American, whereas I was born in Wisconsin, and people would still to this day would be like, you know, what country are you from? Right. Where are you really from? You know, so there's a perpetual foreigner issue going on as well. And I think that that's why there's just not a lot of representation. We've seen, you know, just growing up, I think slowly we're starting to see some changes in Hollywood. And but, you know, predominantly, this is not the story that's told.
Yeah, very under... we're so represented.
Yes.
Very underrepresented. Right.
And that's why representation matters.
It does. I love my sweatshirt from you that says representation matters.
It does.
Yeah. And do you still sell those, by the way?
Yes, we
do. Okay, we'll link to them because you guys
need
them.
We got the cute little dumpling hat.
That's so cute. Oh, yeah. Representation does matter.
But it does matter. And it really, something shifts in the heart of people when they see someone that looks like them. Mm. So I still have people come up to me, usually Asian American women, but even some men, sometimes with tears in their eyes, like, you are the first speaker I've ever heard give a keynote talk at a conference like this.
Wow.
And this is in 2020, 2021. I mean, it matters. And I think we forget that. So that's why I'd love to elevate as many voices.
You know, it's interesting. What was the movie that, I believe it was Pixar, just released with the big red bear?
Turning Red.
Turning Red. Yes. Was it Pixar? I don't
really care. Okay. It was Pixar.
I remember I was having a conversation with a group of women. Mm-hmm. Let's say there were five of us. Four of us were white, mm-hmm. and one was Asian American. Yes. Okay, so we're having this conversation. This movie comes up. I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I watched it with my daughter, and I was on my computer. So yeah. I'll tell you, I wasn't paying that much of attention.
Sure.
I felt really embarrassed for the way I handled that conversation. Mm-hmm. I know that I apologized to this woman later, but I was like, I didn't even love it. I didn't get it, all the stuff. And she said, and she got tears in her eyes when she talked about it. Yeah. And it makes me kind of cry right now. I mean, she said, I felt so seen.
Yes.
I felt so represented.
Yes.
And I literally was like, it was a moment where I was reminded of my privilege. Mm. Because you know me, like, I care about representation. Yeah. Like, sure, it matters to me. I love elevating people. And then there was my privilege shining bright, where I didn't even stop to think.
Yeah.
About what this movie might have meant to her.
Yeah.
And it was a really good slap in the face for me. And I love sharing that publicly, because it is just this thing of like, man, I am someone who cares, and yet still, the lens is still there, because I was born with this lens.
Yeah.
And so that was a hard moment for me, but really good.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. And I think there was a moment when Crazy Rich Asians came out, and that was the first movie where there's no kung fu, a really good looking leading man, leading woman. And I remember when my Asian friend said, I think this is what all the white people feel like all the time. Like, all the movies have really good looking white people as the stars.
Actors,
usually the Asian is the sidekick, the butt of the joke, and usually dies in the action movie within the first scene. Mm. You know, it's just like, so all of that communicates something. And I think about the kids that are growing up and what they're seeing, and it's time. Mm. Someday is here.
Someday is here.
Yeah.
Is that where the title came from?
Well, okay, so the title came from driving home on New Year's Day by myself, New Year's Eve, going into 2019 thinking, oh my goodness, the book is coming out. God, I'm all yours, worshiping. And this huge RV drives in front of me on the fast lane. And I'm like, what in the world? So I'm looking, and I look up and it says, someday is now. And I'm like, huh. And there was a big Christian fish symbol. And I'm like, I look up at the sky, really, Lord? So I wrote it in my bullet journal and decided. And then in another post, it said podcast. Uh-huh. So it was just this whole thing. So it originally was someday is now. And then I received a cease and desist letter from someone that had taken that name for a coaching thing. Yeah. Or I don't know. So we turned to someday's here, which actually I love more, mm-hmm. because the initials for someday is now is sin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So someday is here is really, it's just this moment where I think we always talk about, well someday, and it's like, no, it's here, it's now.
My second question was, what is your hope for, I guess I'd say white Americans, or would it be anyone who is not Asian? What is your hope for all of us listening?
Oh, I think to learn and to celebrate and to recognize, we are also part of the story and have great insights that I think the church needs, our society needs, but all of us coming together reflect accurately who God is. Mm-hmm. And so even as we study the Bible together, even as we interact with culture and this cultural moment, I just think we are just better when we're learning from one another. So my hope is really that the non-AAPI audience would really come away appreciating and recognizing and beginning to shift that lens, where it's like, oh, I'm not centered right now. Mm. This other community is being centered, and that's good and right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a beautiful picture of, there are parts of even God's character that go missing when we don't have representation. Yeah.
I think one of the greatest things that has been probably one of the greatest gifts in my life over the past 10 years is meeting so many people that help me diversify my knowledge, my information. And that's something I still have to consciously think about a lot, And so I think I want to just speak to anyone who's not Asian American right now and say, like, this is good and needed for you to diversify who you're hearing from.
Yes.
And you may think like, well, Vivian loves Jesus, I'm going to hear the same thing from Vivian that I'm going to hear from Jenny. And you might hear the same thing about the gospel, but you need to hear from an Asian American woman because it matters.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage everyone. A, I want you to listen to our show, obviously. But even bigger than that, like diversify the people that you're putting in your ears and that you're putting on your eyeballs on and that you're learning from, because it really does matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, the example I just shared of having that moment.
Yeah.
And that, I'll never forget that moment. And it realized like, oh, this matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so Little Mermaid has a new, what do you call the movies when it's real people?
Live action movie.
It's a real person. It's not a pretend.
It's not
mermaid.
A cartoon.
It's not a cartoon.
Yes.
And it's a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Bailey, like beautiful.
Yes, she's stunning.
And I have seen so many of my black friends celebrating online.
Yes.
And I'm celebrating with them.
Yeah.
Because it does matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you think of your daughter's story and just what that means to her to see, you know, to see someone who looks like her with the same skin tone. And that's honestly, for me, I didn't have Mulan growing up, but when Mulan came out, I mean, that's my avatar on our Disney Plus. That's me. Uh-huh. So, you know, just having that, but so few. So if you think about all of the Disney princesses for all of time, you know, there's just not a lot of
the percentage is low.
Yeah. But I'll just read a few AAPI graphics, but the Asian American population, is one of the highest, and according to Pew Research, between 2000 and 2019, the Asian, the population grew in the U.S. by 81%.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's projected that it will reach 46 million in the U.S. by the year 2060. So it's fast growing, and I really hope that we would be not reactive but proactive in being able to learn and embrace and celebrate.
Yeah. Now I know you have had taken a break with your podcast. So you have, we're about to release season 4 on Ivy Media Podcast, which we're super excited about coming alongside you with that. But that means you've had 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And then you took a break.
Long break.
What happened? And what was the break from? What happened? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we had the podcast going. We had had some pop-ups where, you know, I was adding on to any time I was traveling and speaking, that wherever there was a city that had a lot of Asians in it, we would just meet together and connect, and had a live event that was incredible. All of the speakers came on their own dime.
Wow.
Like they literally flew in, found their own hotels for the sole purpose that there was nothing like this out there for any of us, you know. So had the most amazing time, and then COVID happened. So we decided to move it to a virtual event. And I literally texted about 30 AAPI women that I knew. And within an hour or two, 90% of them had texted back without any details, like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, let's make this happen. And so, especially in this past year since COVID, the anti-Asian hate crime is just, you know, just unmatched as far as percentage-wise of how much anti-Asian hate has been.
You think it's from COVID?
Well, I think that there has been...
like misinformation, that's what I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like when people use the term like Kung Flu or China virus in association with COVID, it hurts my community and even people who aren't...
And it's dumb and ignorant and wrong.
Yes,
I'll just say that.
It is.
I'll
say it. And it's hurtful.
Yeah.
And so people who are not even... who've never stepped foot in China are being harmed or... bullied, harassed, all these things. And so it's been a very painful
time. And then when someone in leadership
time.
Said, I mean, in leadership says that, that's a whole nother conversation that is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so whenever I have the chance to communicate that, it's like it hurts my community. And it's not until we have a relationship with someone who we can actually hear that, because it's easy to go through our lives if we don't have proximity. If you didn't have the one Asian friend and she wasn't in that conversation about turning red, you would have just continued with your perspective. But to have someone come in and say, I'm worried about my parents going to the grocery store now.
Yeah.
My parents are worried about their granddaughter. Mm. You know, I mean, we literally are walking around in a fear that we didn't have before. It's almost like if you picture if people who had blue eyes were always being targeted just for the fact that they had blue eyes. They had no control over the color of their eyes,
right.
And yet they're being singled out and having acid thrown on them because all of a sudden, because blue eyes are.
Everyone would say that's wrong.
Right. And so in this, so we begin to dehumanize people who are made in the image of God. And so I think I have a greater understanding for my Black brothers and sisters who have had to live through
endure,
you know, and the conversations that parents have to have about driving while Black. Mm-hmm. Like there's just a real tangible for me and my community now fear that we have that we didn't have before. So anyway, the hope was that we could all come together and, you know, I had invited my personal friends and my friends range broadly in their views theologically and otherwise, in every department. And, and even in my own family, we have a wide range, even in the same family. And my husband and I don't even agree on, we have like two different phones. Like I have the iPhone, he has an Android, and we read different versions of the Bible. And, you know, we're different.
I understand a lot of different, I don't know how you function with iPhones and Androids together.
Because
you've always got that green,
The green's going. And we've had conflict because, you know, my husband's like, you didn't text me the photo again. And I'm like, and you don't use never and always, but we sure
there
did.
There you go.
And we actually speak at marriage conferences, which is, we have a lot of fresh illustrations. But all that to say is that, a major difference that happened ended up causing the whole event to kind of fall apart. We had to postpone it, and it was really, really painful.
So the event did not happen.
It ended up getting postponed.
Okay.
But we had already taped all the content and done all the work ahead of time, and we were excited to launch. And it just, I have to say, apart from crying with my son when I got diagnosed with COVID, like we literally for 15 minutes just cried on the phone. The only other time I can remember crying so hard was when all of this was going down, because it was so painful. And I think there's been so much division during these years in families and in churches and in our country, so much polarization. And cancel culture is alive and well and unfortunate. I was just heartbroken. I felt like I had built this little sandcastle and it just got stomped on. And it really shook my leadership, to be honest. And so I really needed to take a break because I just wanted to quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I had, you know, with a previous podcast had, you know, paid for all of it out of pocket just for the vision. And in the same way that those speakers that came to that first live event paid for their own way, you know.
Because they believed in it so
much. Because they believed in it so much. And so then I was ready to just pitch it. And then that's when Ivy Media, Jamie, you, and Lindsay, and the team, I just feel like that was such a moment from the Lord. Like, I felt like, okay, God is still saying yes, keep going. And I'm like, I don't know how do we pick this up out of the ashes? And such a beautiful,
I mean, that was
provision.
Like, is that like a year ago that we had that conversation?
Yeah. And so to me, I stand a lot of bit shocked and surprised, but also delighted.
Yeah.
Like that's how God works, you know, and it's just exceedingly abundantly beyond all I could ask or think. So I'm thrilled to be a part of a collective and really to not be alone. And I think that's the other part, that it's just like we together
are better
always and stronger. And I love all the other guests, you know, I mean, it just feels like there's a beauty of sisterhood and the strength of coming together that I love.
I love it. Well, I know I've already said it on this, you know, 30 minutes that we've been together, but I want to say it again. This show matters. Some days here, it matters, and it's important for all of us believers, because proximity matters. And this is a little bit of proximity. I'm going to really ask that people also, through proximity, is like people you can touch, that kind of thing. But this is a step.
Yeah.
This is a step for you to learn and understand. And it reminds me, I mean, we had this conversation last year when you and I went down to the border with Women of Welcome. And that has been a life-changing thing for me because it's proximity.
Yes.
It's no longer a news article.
Yeah.
It is proximity. Mm-hmm. And even as you were sitting here sharing, I'm nervous about my parents going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
I've read that in news articles, but now I'm looking at my friend Vivian who's saying it, and it changes everything for me. And so as you're listening to these conversations that you're going to be having, it is a small little step into a world that you might not regularly go into.
I think that's the beauty of the podcast world and this moment where we do have access to resources. And mm-hmm. I've talked with lots of my white friends who are like, I don't have any Asians in my immediate circle or even in my town.
Yeah.
You know, and there are places that
for sure
don't have a large Asian population, but here is a resource that there are books and there are, you know, this podcast now, but there are some places just to pull up a chair and to take the time.
You know, I just thought about this, and you mentioned earlier, there's also this whole other dynamic of Asian American transracial adoptees.
Mm-hmm.
How much work do you do, or what do you, what conversations are you seeing happening? And that could be, I think, its own show that we could have a conversation about. Yeah. But what are your thoughts about that demographic of young people being raised in America? Probably mostly, I would guess, by white parents is what we're probably mostly seeing. How are those conversations happening in your world?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think one of the hallmarks that I'd like to see through some days here is that we have content that actually addresses the transracial adoptee. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten to know more transracial adoptees who are now adults, being able to hear their stories and to be able to highlight their experience, I think is so important because it's often overlooked and under-resourced again.
Right.
So I know Be the Bridge has got some great resources for transracial adoptees. Often the story is so centered on the parent and not the child. And, you know, the child's just supposed to be grateful.
Yeah.
And there's a whole story that comes with being the only Asian in a whole white community and, you know, the teasing and not having anyone to navigate and then feeling so out of place even when with Asians. It's like I look the same, but my values are completely different because I've grown up in a different culture, really.
Yeah.
Interestingly, with that live event, in the front row were three transracial adoptees who were in tears for most of the conference because they had never seen representation on the stage. And here was one speaker after another who looked like them. And there's something that's really beautiful. So I would love that we would always have content for the transracial adoptee, for women in leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a challenging thing to navigate anyway for women.
For sure.
But for AAPI women, there's another whole layer with regards to culture and stigmas and just a lot of misinformation and confusion because of what we're taught and how we live and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So women in leadership, and I think mental health is another area that, again, wanting to make sure that we can cover that topic. And so I just love being able to have a space to curate and highlight and recognize and validate and normalize some of these topics.
Right.
You know,
I follow an Asian American man online who talks a lot about adoption.
Mm.
And I feel bad that I can't remember his name. I'll put it in the show notes if anyone is listening and wants information about that. I love it. I read a book this summer, too, that I recommend. It's called All You Can Ever Know by Nicole Chung.
Yes.
This is a memoir.
Okay.
And I highly recommended it.
She's a transracial adoptee. Is that correct?
I think so.
I think so. Because Little Fires Everywhere was also written by a transracial adoptee.
Then it might be the same person.
Story. Yeah.
We'll figure it all out in the show notes and let you guys know. But I really loved this book as an adopted mom.
Yeah.
I really loved it. And it also gave me a whole nother view because none of my kids are AAPI. They're Black and biracial. And I really loved it. It was like real and raw and true. And also, as an adoptive mom, I want to hold space for my kids to be real and raw and not take it personal.
Yes.
And so I felt like she handled that really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my kids to be able to say things that I don't take personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because things are hard for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's sometimes nothing I can do about it.
Right. That's what I really appreciated. I had interviewed or talked with Shannon Martin, and she has adopted children of Korean descent.
Yeah.
And what they've done in their family is so beautiful, so intentional in terms of really like putting aside money in their budget to make sure that there's food that will honor the culture and, you know, things like that, that I think really changes the trajectory of how that child grows up celebrating their heritage rather than wishing that they didn't look the way they did.
Listen, Shannon Martin is amazing. We're a fan of Shannon Martin.
Yes.
Vivian, okay, I'd love to know, what are you reading?
Jamie wants to know, we want to know what you're reading.
Well, I'm currently in my Bible reading in the middle of Ezekiel. And so, hello.
Exciting.
There's a lot of, and so, therefore, I need to supplement some things as well in the middle of my reading. But I have downloaded Last Boat Out of Shanghai.
Okay.
Which is on audio, but, you know, I'm starting to love audiobooks.
Me
because
too.
I can get a lot done and also kind of disappear into a book at the same time. But I'm curious because that's my parents' story, that they fled China before the communist thing, and they fled to Taiwan. And so hearing some of these stories that are based on a compilation of people who fled, it's really interesting with regard to history. Again, I think history is so when we understand history, it kind of frames things in a way that we can, it helps give understanding to our now. And so I'm
Bring history lessons into your show?
So we have a did you know section.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Right? And so we're, that's where we highlight either historical situations or people and just helpful information. And I know I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback on that because there's just like, I had no idea.
Okay, set the stage. We're going to hear a trailer at the end of the show. So everyone, we're going to hear a trailer for a show. But who do you have coming up on season four?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about season four. So Eugene Cho. Everybody loves Eugene Cho.
I love Eugene.
Tiffany Bloom. I'm just like, I think what was so encouraging to me was the immediate response of all of the people that I asked to be a part of it. So I'm excited for Bonnie Gray, who's been on the
Happy Hour.
She's been on the Happy Hour. And I'm trying to think.
Isabel Garza?
Yes,
has
Isabel
been on
Garza
the Happy Hour as well.
She will be on it. J.S. Park. He's amazing. So we are adding men now to the
Is this new for season 4?
Yes, this is new for
You're
season
love
4.
It.
And we also are now switching from society and culture to Christian and spiritual because I really wanted to be able to talk really openly about our faith and how that also informs how we do life. And
do you feel like making that switch cause you to cut out some guests that you could have had?
You know, I, at this point, the like 95% of the guests that were on seasons 1 through 3 were all believers.
Okay.
So it doesn't, I feel like if anything, it opens up a more robust conversation to not have to be so mindful.
Right.
Again, for those on a spiritual journey, I would welcome them to come and learn about God.
For sure.
And hear a really authentic conversation. But I also, you know, hope to have, you know, people who aren't necessarily followers of Christ on the podcast as well, if it's helpful.
Because it will be helpful. I mean, you know, I don't mean to be weird, but I think the teaching of Jesus, they're helpful.
Yes.
In just life, it was a moral life, which is, there's so much more to following Jesus than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that there's a lot of good from the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Christ. Okay, now I know one thing that's new since I talked to you is you and your husband are on a marriage teaching team.
Yes.
For Family Life.
Yep, Weekend to Remember.
Weekend to Remember, which those conferences are massive.
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of how massive they were.
Yep.
Aaron and I did their cruise in February.
Yes.
And had so much fun.
Yes.
Really big fans of Family Life. So do you know when your conferences are that you're going to be on?
So people can come see you? Yeah, in Naples, Florida. We're going to be
I want to come to Naples, Florida.
Yes, and Coeur d'Alene. And we're actually going to be doing the event that was the cruise. So this year they're taking 1 year break from the boat.
Got it.
And having it on the land.
Okay.
And so Darren and I will be at that one as well.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
That's going to be kind of the cruise with all the different elements, and we'll be at that one. And so, yeah, and then the spring schedule is still yet to be determined, but we have loved being a part of Family Life and just, I think, focusing on marriage and realizing how important family and marriage is, and everyone's connected to a family. And I love what Family Life does as far as focusing on resourcing blended families.
They have great ministry there.
And the content is updated and team taught now, which is really fun too.
Really love what they're doing there. So if they're bringing the cruise on the land, make sure they have just unlimited ice cream, because that's on a cruise. You got to get that on the land too.
I know that,
so
like the chocolate fountain,
talk to them
too,
and just let them know all the things. Vivian, I'm so excited for season 4. I'm excited for what is ahead for you this next year. I'm thankful and grateful that you've chosen to partner with us here at Ivy Media. All right, you guys, here is a preview of season 4. Sunday is here.
Hi, this is Vivian Mabuni, and welcome to the Someday is Here podcast. We are so glad you are here. Someday is Here is a podcast for AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander leaders. In each episode, we discuss how we navigate living in both Eastern and Western worlds, and how the blend of our unique experiences influences our faith, life, and leadership. We celebrate our ethnic heritage, we learn some of our history and contributions, and we explore the challenges and opportunities of living in this cultural moment. Though this podcast is created for the AAPI community, we warmly welcome all who want to listen and learn and grow in their understanding of this beautiful community I'm proud to represent. For those of you who've listened to seasons 1 to 3, you'll notice we've made a few changes around here. First is that we have partnered with the Ivy Media Podcast Collective. My friend Jamie Ivy and her stellar team have warmly embraced the vision and purpose of Some Days Here, and I'm thrilled to link arms with Ivy Media to create and produce this podcast. Second, we are adding interviews with men. We are all better and gain more appreciation and understanding when we glean from the wisdom and experience of a wide range of people from different walks of life. I'm excited to add the voices of men I respect who also hold a high view of women. Third, the previous seasons, we went broad and fell under the genre of society and culture. For season 4 and beyond, the podcast is shifting to the Christian spiritual genre. I desire to create a space where we can openly discuss how our relationship with God impacts all parts of life. While we as Christians all agree on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we may not all agree on all things theologically or otherwise. I think it's healthy to be exposed to various viewpoints and for us to engage and come together even in our differences. At times, we may welcome a guest who does not identify as Christian, but the vast majority of guests will be people who do. And a special welcome to any listeners who find themselves on a spiritual journey. I hope that what you hear helps you in your understanding of God's existence, love, and intimate care in your life. I am so glad to be back in the chair behind the mic hosting this podcast. We have an amazing lineup of guests for season 4. You won't want to miss a single episode. So if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and each episode will magically appear every time a new episode releases. And again, welcome to Some Days Here.
The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivy is a production of Ivy Media Podcasts. Executive produced by Jamie Ivy, produced by Lindsay Sweeney, edited by Angie Elkins, show notes by Ashley Miner, art by Jen Jett Barrett, original music by Matt Graham, and I'm your host, Jamie. Have a happy hour with a friend.